Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
It's welcome. Here. We're building a vibe. As we said earlier in the show, yeah. We're
going
to vibe
just
going.
Just get a good vibe
just get
going.
Get a good vibe going for the show.
Just keep it going.
Keep going the vibe. Well, now we've got a vibe going. Can you kill a vibe immediately?
I could 100% do right. That because Adam West has passed away at age 88, which absolutely sucks. Not the first Batman. But the one that obviously popularized the first popular live action.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was huge. It only ran for like 3 seasons.
Yeah.
But that has just stuck around for ages. I mean, they're still making comics of it.
Yeah.
There was an animated movie recently. I think they were planning on doing another one.
There's some Arkham skins for that character.
Yeah,
if you want to play as Adam, if you want to play as Adam West Batman in that horrific nightmare world that is the Arkham video game series.
That's exactly it. So he had a short battle with leukemia.
Yeah.
And passed away. As of recording this, it was passed away yesterday. There's a statement from the family and it says, our dad always saw himself as the bright knight and aspired to make a positive impact on his fans' lives. He was and always will be our hero. So
very
there you
good.
Go.
Very Man. Nice. Always played it tongue in cheek. Very good.
Yeah.
Loved it. See, it was a show because the kids could watch it because it was a fun adventure show and the adults could watch it because Adam West was clearly like, how ridiculous is this?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Was that, it would have had to have been the first version of Batman you saw?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was on like, if they put it on immediately, like I would come home from school as early as possible.
Yeah.
Skimp on my education to get home at like, it was like on at 4 o'clock or something like that. And it was every day. And every second episode had a cliffhanger.
Oh,
and
man.
You had to come back for the next one.
Absolutely.
Real good, yeah.
What a waiter. Oh.
Very
and the
good.
Movie, obviously,
yep.
was huge. It's weird because it got cancelled quite, like it was huge and then it kind of died off in popularity and got cancelled quite quickly.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of didn't go away. People kept talking about it. I know he had to go around to conventions for years and things like that and he kind of kept it alive that way. And I know he struggled for work a bit after that for
being
typecast, but I didn't ever feel like, and I don't know this, but it wasn't like he wasn't resentful for being typecast
as
exactly
Batman.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He seemed to always kind of love talking with fans and obviously talking about the show and all that.
And then he had a kind of resurgence. He was the mayor on Family Guy.
Exactly,
He was on Futurama and et cetera, et cetera.
Who was he on Futurama? Or was he himself?
Oh, he was head in the jar.
Cool.
Along with Burt Ward.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah. What else?
Well,
I was going to say, if you want to see some non-Batman stuff of Adam West, I think it's on YouTube. It's it was a TV pilot from 1991, written by Conan O'Brien and I think Robert Smigel.
Right.
And it's called Look Well. And it's about, he plays a washed up actor called Ty Lookwell.
Right.
Who was famous many years ago, playing a TV detective called Bannigan. And now he's like, He thinks he's a crime solver now.
Right.
So he sort of keeps appearing at crime scenes and attempting to solve the mysteries.
That's
pretty
great.
Good. It's a shame that never got picked up.
So one episode.
It's just one episode. I think it's on YouTube.
Yeah. One thing which is kind of, which speaks to his legacy of that TV show as well. Well, not that TV show, the Batman, was that he appeared as the Grey Ghost on Batman animated series.
That's right. In Mask of the Phantasm?
No, I think it was
his own
episode.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he basically played an actor who played this character in like the 60s called the Grey Ghost, which is like a Batman kind of knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets drawn back into the crime that happens relates to his character. And Bruce, Batman goes and grabs him and they kind of work together on this
That's
thing.
That's very good.
Yeah. And it turns out that the Grey Ghost was also an inspiration Bruce Wayne used to watch The Grey Ghost with his father, and he was kind of an inspiration for kind of who he is and his ethos. So
cool.
That's well worth checking out. So yeah. I mean, 88's a good innings, yes. But it sucks that he's dead, man, because obviously he's still doing stuff. Like I said, the animated movies, Family Guy, and a bunch of stuff. So yeah, that's a shame.
Anyway, let's bring the vibe back. You're ready to bring the vibe back?
Okay, I guess I can bring the vibe back.
If you could.
Black Panther has a new poster.
Yeah, it does.
And also a new trailer.
Yeah, it looks great.
Ruined my day. What about you? Did it affect you at all?
No, it ruined your... Not at all. I mean, I watched it the once. It was real good. But it ruined your day because you are contractually obliged and obliged by that curse that's upon us.
Correct.
That you have to make a video of any major trailer and point out all the things you've missed.
Exactly, and as we talked about last week.
I mean, you miss your family.
I did, because my wife's in Europe at the moment, so it's just me and the kid just banging about.
How you holding up?
It's not too bad. Yeah, I've gotten help from the outside, like my parents, and I've got some babysitters and that, so I've been able to do some work. But that
and if I may, I may show a peek behind the curtain, your wife has purchased you a couple of weeks subscription to a food delivery service.
Yes.
So your fridge is filled with packaged meals.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't accidentally die.
But they're fresh packaged meals, basically. They're really good. I was genuinely surprised by it. I'm good. No one cares about this. I can cook a little bit, but I only cook for others and myself. I won't go and cook myself a meal. I'll just be like, I'm not good enough for this. I'll just eat bread.
See, that's classic dad. You're just eating food over the sink. That's very good.
But yeah, no, it's not going too badly. But this.
But also, you're only 3 days in.
So. Exactly. And my kid was sick for the first two of them.
Ugh.
Yeah, but anyway. Doesn't matter, Mason. We're not here to talk about my miserable life.
No, we're here to talk about the vibe. And the vibe is Black Panther.
The trailer. What'd you think?
Looks really good.
Yeah.
It's got to, I learned a new word, which is Afrofuturism, which is apparently that style of futuristic African architecture. And
is that something that was invented for this, or is that already
a
thing?
No, that's a thing. That's already a thing. Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I love the music for this as well.
Yeah.
It's not just a pop song and there's stuff happening, which seems to be a lot of trailers right now. Marvel are really good at kind of getting a different... Obviously, all the movies are the same universe and blah, blah, blah. But they are good at kind of getting a different vibe in these trailers.
Vibe's important.
Absolutely.
We know it is.
As long as you keep it going, you don't bring it down. Mason, never stop. Don't think about it for a second.
Oh, now I'm thinking about it.
But I don't think... it all looked fantastic. I like seeing Wakanda because we've never seen a live-action version of it. I love the cast.
Yep.
I like that they didn't show too much in terms of the story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there was nothing in this where I was like, man, I'm really looking forward to that set piece, that action set piece.
Right, okay.
I'm assuming there are going to be big
some
moments
good ones,
that. But there was nothing in it that was Spider-Man grabbing Captain America's shield or whatever or anything
or
like
Spider-Man
that.
Or Spider-Man holding the ship together with his webs. Or Spider-Man fighting the bank robbers outside the bank. Or Spider-Man fighting the vulture. Or Spider-Man leaping over a helicopter. Or Spider-Man doing any number of things that we've seen all the things in that movie.
I think every week we turn up, when you turn up here, that happens before the show, we talk about just briefly that why they're releasing so much Spider-Man stuff.
You were saying there's a 20-minute featurette
coming up? It's open in front of me. It's 22 minutes.
Great. It's a making-of.
Yeah.
So presumably that will have behind-the-scenes footage of all the stuff we've already seen, plus behind-the-scenes stuff haven't seen.
They're revealing who every character is.
Right, great.
There's a few characters that I don't actually know who they are, but it's a month out.
Yeah,
it's a month out.
Just let it go. We're all going to see it.
Pump the brakes, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got Tom Holland showing up before the movie I'm watching going, hello, it's me, Tom Holland.
It's
hang on, where's my Tom Holland voice? Where's the range? Hello, it's me, Tom Holland. I just wrapped up on me movie and I'm so happy to be here telling you to watch the trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming.
I'm just a poor boy from London.
I'm just happy to be away from the bleak cold of old Blighty in sunny Southern California.
We were saying before, this is not Black Panther related. It's all comic books, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm not talking about
the vibe. That's the important thing.
I'm not talking about my miserable life either. So this is fine. It's on point.
Mm.
But he's 20 now, right?
Yep.
He might even be 21, but let's say he's 20.
Yep.
And they're like, well, we're going to do a few movies. We're going to do Spider-Man through high school.
Uh-huh.
You got one more of them in it.
Yeah.
He's not going to look 20 in 3 years.
It's got, yeah.
Or 17 in 3 years, you know? Mm. Get it done. Get it going.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So anyway.
Black Panther.
Love the world.
Yep.
I love the color.
Claws back.
Claws back.
I'm from
South Africa.
It's only just, I know, right? It's time to break out the South African accents.
What a week for accents.
I know, right?
Can you do, why don't you do an, do a Black Panther accent?
I won't. So I actually didn't look, and I definitely should have. Is this, because Claw is tied up to a chair.
Yeah.
Is he missing a hand?
He's missing an arm.
Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. Okay, just
checking. But he is.
He could sneak out of those bonds then if he's only got one arm.
Well, that's not even around his arm.
Yeah, all right.
It's
okay.
Around his waist.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay,
but
he's in a suit for some reason.
He's probably doing a heist, a sneaky heist.
Yeah. Uh huh.
But I know. Well, I was reading a behind the scenes thing, and they were talking about Kevin Feige was like, "Yeah, he's going to get a claw." Yeah. Well, it's a Wakandan mining tool.
Yeah.
Which
presumably
means you could cut.
It's vibranium. It's got the sonic cannon, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice. So that's going to be super cool. But there's a bunch of other villains. Michael B. Jordan is Killmonger.
Yeah.
There's Man-Ape. There's a whole bunch of other tribes. I'd never heard of Man-Ape.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole bunch of other tribes and whatever from Wakanda.
And so from the trailer, the premise is that the world at large thinks Wakanda is sort of a third world nation.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's great.
I love that.
Me too.
Because it does make sense that, well, how could this place exist without people knowing about it?
Yeah, right.
And they've just got this front of just like farmers and agriculture and whatever, and maybe you go through a waterfall and it's this amazing futuristic city. What was it called again?
Afrofuturism.
Ah, that's so
I said it once and I'll never be able to say it again.
Yeah. But no, that was super cool. And it also, they've kind of clarified that he does have powers.
Oh, like as
the herb powers.
The herb powers,
but
yes.
It's a different thing. It's because there's adamantium in the soil, not adamantium, vibranium in the soil, and he kind of bathes in it. It's like a special brew. It just kind of kicks his stuff up because that wasn't really
gives him kind of a vibe.
Yeah, a good vibe that he can carry with him.
Mm.
You saw in Winter Soldier. I wasn't sure whether it was this because he's running, like he's out running like Captain America.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't sure whether is that the suit giving him, making him a bit slicker or whatever, but clearly not. Like a little bit, but
that would be weird. Also, like if it was just the suit,
yes,
because your human body would be sort of liquefying inside the suit.
Yeah.
If the suit makes you run a lot, like it's not the same as an Iron Man suit.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, but you also see like it's. It's bulletproof to the point where he doesn't even flinch.
Yeah.
Mm. I love that. And
me too.
That scene in the jungle, I think I mentioned this in my... I did an amazing trailer breakdown, Mason.
Oh, yes.
I'll link it below.
Mm.
It's quite good. I'm impressed that I managed to do it on like no sleep. It's probably not that good. I'll probably look back at it and go, what was I thinking?
Mm.
What were you doing? I'm bringing the vibe down. I'm sorry.
It's just you.
Bring it up.
It's just the trailer as presented by Marvel. And it's you going, over the top.
I should do that one day.
If you could. You won't have a choice. It'll just happen once.
It'll
time.
Happen, yeah. But there's two suits in it. You see the original Black Panther suit in the jungle where he takes out all those guys. And at the end, you see him in a more futuristic-y suit. Like the eyes are different and the linings on it different. And I wondered whether that first one is, you know, they love a flashback.
Yep,
whether that's like the previous Black Panther.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because the previous Black Panther was. His father who was killed in Civil War.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know whether they're going to de-age him or just get a different... Because I don't think he's a famous enough actor that they need to de-age him. They could just get another actor.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So, he was in Ghost in the Darkness, though. Have you ever seen that? It's like Jaws, but with lions.
No, I haven't seen
Val Kilmer's in it.
Ugh.
I used to love
it. Wait, thin Val Kilmer or fat Val Kilmer?
Thin Val Kilmer.
Oh, wow,
mid-90s. And Michael Douglas.
Oh.
It's a who's who of... People in Marvel movies.
Yeah, isn't it though?
Two people in Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
I swear they haven't gotten Val Kilmer for anything.
He did. Yeah, that's true. Isn't he crazy?
Well, maybe that's it.
I've heard that he's crazy. Also, it was recently revealed that he was battling cancer and he pulled through it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he kind of kept that on the down low. He did return. Do you remember he turned up in Life's Too Short as himself?
That's right,
he was trying to get Willow 2 off the ground, but it was all a big scam. But, But yeah, look, Val Kilmer's got enough money. He'll be fine. He's just playing his music and whatever he's up to. Anything else before we move on?
Nah.
Cool. Got a question here, though, about it. It's from Pond Kiris.
Oh, is that my daughter's violin recital? That's why he's got the suit on.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Pond Kirisum says, do you think they're writing out that T'Challa is a genius? It wasn't relevant in Civil War.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's going to be sort of...
A bit of a hothead, a bit
yeah,
brash.
A bit of a hothead. I think he's going to be royal strike because the T'Challa in Black Panther, the modern one, he's been the king of Wakanda and he's been Black Panther for decades at this point, I guess. So I think this guy's going to be brash and hot-headed, and he's going to be trying to live up to the legacy of his father. And there's probably going to be people in Wakanda and surrounds who are like, you're not the man your father was, or kind of thing. You know?
And he's like, shut up!
Yeah.
I'll fight you in a waterfall or
That's
something.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that I feel like he's going to go into this, off the back of Civil War, he kind of learns a lesson about kind of letting go and not carrying hate in your heart. And I think he's going to carry that into this movie. So I don't think he's going to turn up like Doctor Strange, like, what's anything and who?
That's
I don't believe in nothing, you know? I think he's already kind of fully formed as a person in a lot of ways.
Like an adult.
Like an adult man, Mason.
Very good.
Or woman.
Yeah.
His sister's in it, though, who's also
That's why Claw hates him, because he's a fully formed man. And Claw is not.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good scene. I rewatched it. It's in my trailer breakdown, but just slices off his arm. He heats up his hand and kind of cuts right through it. It's great. Yeah. Mm. That movie's fine. I know a lot of people hate it, but Age of Ultron's okay. It's not brilliant.
Sure.
But there's some good thing in it.
Andy Serkis
is great. Yeah. There's something else I was going to say. Yeah, because his sister's been... Is she the Black Panther at the same time as him? Are there two Black Panthers?
I could not tell you for $1 million.
Yeah, because I know she has been Black Panther, but I don't know whether they've crossed over at the same time, whether there can be two at once. I don't know. Anyway, there's a bunch of other stuff. Dora Milaje.
Yep, they're there.
The fighters. Lupita Nyong'o, who's in Star Wars 12 Years a Slave, bunch of stuff. Yeah, she's going to be the love interest.
Nice.
So that's pretty good. I'm excited for this, Mason.
Me too.
You may not be.
No, I'm very excited. Plus, listen, I get to do my flawless South African accent as much as possible. South African, listen, if we have any South African listeners, please email in and ask.
Out of 10.
Yeah, out of 10, but also let us know, is it fun to do your own accent, considering you do it all the time? Because it's fun for us.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
It certainly is. All right, what do we got here? We're going to talk a bit of Star Wars news, Mason.
Okay.
And we also might have an exclusive.
Oh, really?
You okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, good. First, E3's going on at the moment.
Weekly Planet exclusive.
At the moment.
Could just be lies.
Yeah, we don't know yet. You be the judge. Don't hold us accountable. What's going on at the moment? The E3 conference.
That's right.
The only one that's played is...
Entertainment. Eggies. A third E.
Egg. The only thing that came to mind was Egg Yokio.
What's that?
From Ren and Stimpy. Ren makes a son out of egg yolks and... Like Pinocchio, and called him
Egg Yokio. Oh, wow. Okay, Egg Yokio's back, everyone.
That's a... Why is that in my head? Like, no. I don't need that, do I? But the EA press conference happened.
Yep.
They're like, Need for Speed and whatever. Video games aren't really our thing, but one of them was a trailer for Battlefront 2.
Yep.
They're showing all the eras. They got the new trilogy, the original trilogy, and the prequel trilogy.
That's true.
And it's all in-game footage. Looks incredible.
It looks like
the
movies.
Last one looked incredible, but
I mean, initially, the first thing was that I saw that they were doing stuff from Phantom Menace or that trilogy, and I'm like, you've made a mistake here.
I don't think so.
It looks so good, I'm like, I get it. I'm willing to forgive that.
Those campaigns as well were left out of the last Battlefront.
Right.
But the ones before, the original two, they're all in there, and they're great. Like, they're great to play. So I'm glad they're kind of revisiting it. Because despite what you think of those movies, Mason, you think they're piles of garbage. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those, I like a lot of the tech and the different arms.
Oh, sure,
You can kind of play with. And I'm hoping, and I've said this before, that you can just grab a ship. You don't have to get a token and then you're
Because it was always, it was weird. Fighter. You had to collect a token and then magically you were somebody else. So you're magically in a ship or what have you.
No good.
It's not how those movies work.
Certainly not.
Anakin Skywalker didn't grab... He didn't start as a stormtrooper and then grab enough tokens, then he became Darth Vader. It's not how it worked.
No, that's right.
We also get Darth Maul throwing his double-sided lightsaber.
Yeah,
just probably would have saved him in the movie at a number of points, I would imagine. I don't know.
Well, see, a lot of the battles for this, like the multiplayer stuff, is obviously not canon, so you can have Yoda fight Darth Maul, fight Kylo Ren or whatever.
Sure, right.
But maybe, I don't actually know what they're doing. But there is that story campaign, which is canon, which starts at the end of Return of the Jedi and then goes through up until the new movies-ish. Mm. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, that looks good.
If it was like 6 to 8 hours, right, and it was fantastic, I'd pay full price for it. I don't give a shit about multiplayer. Like,
neither do
I'll give it a go. Mm. But like, for example, I bought Titanfall 2 for $60 or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
It's like an 6 to 8 hour campaign. And I didn't touch the multiplayer, but I loved the game.
Right, sure.
Like, and it was well worth it for me.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you think $20 for a 2 hour movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of worth it, yeah.
Hey, well, I paid quite a bit more for the one we're going to talk about today.
Oh, I paid $21.50.
I'll get to it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. Keeping my receipt.
That's right. Is this enough for you to get a PlayStation or an Xbox?
Battlefront, no, absolutely not.
What would make you get it? Maybe a Batman Arkham
game?
Maybe another one. The one that they've got's not good enough.
Correct.
So not even an Uncharted, like a Last of Us 2.
No, no.
What about like the new Star Wars games they're making, which they didn't talk about? Like there's like going to be Amy Henning, the woman behind.
No, Star Wars wouldn't get me in, I don't think.
No?
What
about if they remade Batman on the Amiga? Would you buy it for that?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, what if they did? Yeah, maybe. Batman 1989, except instead of it being a 2D platform, was a, yeah, maybe.
Oh, I was just going to say it's exactly the same.
Oh, it's exactly the same. Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
What I was going to say about Battlefront 2, what's the lightsaber combat going to be like?
It's generally no good.
Because there's quite a heavy emphasis on that.
Yeah,
in this.
A lot of flipping about, but I don't think it's never been kind of refined in the way that it has been in, say, the Jedi Knight series.
Right.
Yeah, it's just kind of, and if you're two guys, you're just kind of wailing on each other.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So, but hey, you don't kind of play them for the lightsaber.
I think you should though.
I think they're building something for that specifically.
Oh, okay, right.
I think there's a game coming. The studio or the guy who made one of the God of Wars, I can't remember. I think it's, are they ready? The guys who made Titanfall are doing one. And I think there's going to be a lightsaber combat focused one as well. But because they showed like a trailer for that, for what they were making over a year ago, but that's all we know about it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. All right, time for our weekly black exclusive.
Weekly
black exclusive.
Oh, we're getting something exclusive, weekly black exclusive.
Bearing in mind, this might not be exclusive. This could just be a lie. But this
might be an exclusive lie, though.
That's right.
He might have chosen to exclusively lie to us. So
this is about the Han Solo film. It's not a spoiler for any story points or anything like that. It's just some behind the scenes going on. I'm going to keep the guy's name who sent it a secret, but we do know that his name is James, like my name, but it's not me. It's somebody else. What up, James and Mason? It's me, James, the guy who told you the story about the pesky prunes of Woody Harrelson.
That's
right.
Remember
that story?
Apparently, Woody Harrelson is very particular about his organic prunes.
If you don't get him his organic prunes, he'll hold up production or whatever.
He'll be all in a tizzy.
But then we also heard from other people that maybe that didn't. I can't remember. Who cares?
Maybe it wasn't prunes. Maybe it wasn't Woody Harrelson.
Maybe it wasn't Star Wars.
Maybe they're not even making a Star Wars.
Yeah. But yeah, I have more of a scoop from a friend of mine working on the blank team of the Han Solo film. He actually named it, but I feel like I shouldn't say that in case he's fired.
Yep.
The word is...
So if you're listening, Lucasfilm, you can fire all of your teams. Anyone working alone, they're not the leak.
No.
But if they're on a team, just boot them and replace them with anyone else. It's fine.
The word is that there are a number of reshoots for the film. As though the scripts are meant to be very funny, the action set pieces and acting are thought to be weak by Kathleen Kennedy. What are your thoughts on this, huh? Thanks to the Sweet Ass Podcast. You are cool, your boy James.
Ooh.
Right, so Kathleen Kennedy, you know she's the head of Lucasfilm. She took over when George Lucas, whatever he's doing now.
Yeah, right.
Just rolling in money. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether this is true or not, and it could just be like one perspective of her in particular. Maybe it is does have great acting and action. We don't know. Does that worry you, or are you just like, okay, that's fine?
I think it'd be odd that acting issues would crop up now.
Yeah,
like they've surely cast people at this, like they're not bringing in C-listers or people they don't trust their acting abilities. They're surely bringing in the best.
Well, I think the uncertainty about the acting would probably, and this is presuming all this is true,
sure, right,
that like the Han Solo's not right.
Oh,
I don't know.
But again, surely it's one of the most iconic roles in cinema.
Yeah.
Surely they would have tested that before they hired him.
I don't doubt it in many ways. But maybe it just doesn't play.
I feel like what they would have done is maybe like put him in a series of precarious situations, like hung him from the bottom of a biplane and see what his reactions are. Are they suitably Han Solo-esque? You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I understand what you're saying. Biplanes, right. But movies go through reshoots all the time. We're going to be talking about one coming up today. But yeah, I think if they don't kind of nail this one, because even though Rogue One made a lot of money, it didn't, like a lot of people weren't really happy with it.
Yeah, sure.
And I think if the second spin-off movie is also not very good, that's not very. I quite liked it. You quite liked it. Yeah, it's right. Fine or whatever. It's got a good third act, but yeah, it's not good when you try something new. You do a Rogue One, which is something different, and it doesn't get a great response, and then you do something that's tried and true, and it also doesn't get a good response.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's true.
What kind of direction do you go? Well, I still maintain that they shouldn't make this at all. Like, right, I just don't think it's a good idea.
It's
for
not
a
necessary.
Movie. Yeah, I'll see it, and I hope it's going to be good, and it probably will be good.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, look, I would. Yeah, again, I'm happy to see a movie that's maybe one of his earlier adventures, but I don't need to see the origin of Han Solo.
You don't need to see where he gets his blaster and vest.
No, exactly.
You don't even want to see him win the Millennium Falcon in the Sabacc tournament.
Not really.
A Casino Royale style Sabacc tournament.
No.
No.
No. None of those.
Okay. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, that's that, isn't it, Mason?
Sure is.
I can't argue with any of those things. I mean, I could, but I'd...
You could, yeah. But it'd bring down the vibe, wouldn't it?
That's not what
I'm
about.
This episode's all about the vibe. Just keep the vibe rolling.
Keep the vibe up. Never stop for a second.
Mm-hmm.
James Gunn, it's been said, is going to help shape the cosmic side of the MCU.
Ooh.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will end the trilogy, but it's also the beginning of other elements of the Marvel Cosmic Universe.
Ooh.
So that's presumably 2 to 3, probably 3 years away from now.
Okay,
is
that, sure.
Is 3 years too far away for the cosmic stuff? Well, let me think. Yeah, well, because then...
No, we need a little breather.
Yeah, we need a little breather. And also, we're going to have a cosmic Avengers adventure in between.
That's true, yeah.
The two cosmic Avengers.
Tom Holland's going to be there.
Hello, it's nice to be in space. I'm used to being stuck in a chimney all my life.
So it's good to have all this space. Look at me, wave me arms about. I'm going to spin around like I'm in a Sound of Music.
That's fun to do, isn't it?
It is.
I bet it's annoying, but it's
no,
real fun
it's
to do.
It's fun to do, and accents are good.
Yeah.
Flawless accents are great. That's what I've always said.
Do you think James Gunn's a good choice for...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
To take on this? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are they going to go all cosmic, or are they just going to be like, we're not going to do any more, like, we're going to save the grounded superhero movies for Netflix? Do you think that's...
Oh, do you think they're going to go all cosmic? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be... I think they're just gone, okay, here's one market, which is people who like superhero movies set on Earth.
Yeah.
And here's an untapped market, which is people who love crazy space adventures.
Do you like crazy space stuff?
Yeah.
It's the side of Marvel that I'm the least familiar with.
You're right, okay.
All the cosmic stuff and all the different characters. I just don't think, I know, it's not as appealing to me, but then again, I didn't really care about Guardians of the Galaxy before we got
exactly, Galaxy, and I think a lot of people didn't care. Most people didn't care about Iron Man or really Captain America or any of those.
Yeah,
they were all kind of B-list characters before Marvel were forced to use them. Yeah. And now, so I think it's going to be great for and you know, there are obviously going to be people who love particular individual characters, but there's also enough room to go. Okay, well. Let's tweak them in this direction a little. Yeah, let's do a Nova movie, exactly.
Let's do a Stallone movie.
Stallone.
Cliffhanger in space. Yeah. So, no, I think he's
space hanger.
He's the perfect choice, I feel. But if you like news, Mason.
I do like news.
I have more news.
Oh, good.
The success of Warner Brothers apparently has caught... The success of... I've got WW and WB as abbreviations to help me, like
sure,
when I'm typing it out. So this would be a swifter process. But
sure, it'd be fun to read.
It's bogged
me
down. It'd
be a breeze to read.
It's killed the vibe.
Yeah.
The success of Wonder Woman caught Warner Brothers off guard, so much so...
Because they're dummies. Who knew? Who knew that people would watch a movie with a woman as the person, the star of it? Who knew?
Not me.
Who knew there was anyone in the world who would watch that?
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
There's a rumor that she wasn't... that Patty Jenkins wasn't signed on for a sequel because they were just like, yeah, we'll just see how this goes.
Right, okay.
I guess. And so from there, it said that she'll probably be able to, if she comes back, she'll be able to negotiate a much larger paycheck.
Okay, good.
Which, yeah, well, that's on them, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
If you were forward-thinking enough to do that. Because apparently the next projects they were looking to greenlight were Justice League Dark or Dark Universe or Dark Justice Universe or whatever they end up calling it, and Batwoman. So Batwoman's that's Joss Whedon. That's obviously, that's going to go ahead no matter what. I don't know what's going to happen yet with Justice League Dark, but you'd think that you'd be able to get a read on how well this movie's going to be received or even if you like it in-house.
Yep.
Uh-huh. But I guess studios release stuff that they don't know that people are going to hate.
That's true, yeah.
Remember they gave Batman v Superman a standing ovation? Remember
we sure did, yeah.
Heard that rumor? So it seems like that, they're going to be pushing Wonder Woman 2 forward as quickly as possible, which...
Right, yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is it's only got a, Actually, we'll talk about this more when we talk about The Mummy, but the drop-off for the second week is really good. Like, the word of mouth is carrying
this movie. So it hasn't dropped 50% or...?
Well, dropping 50% is good.
Oh, I see,
Most movies drop, like, 70.
Oh, I see, yeah. Right. Mm. Again, any time you throw numbers at me, I'm like, that sounds good. It was like, this movie made $80 million, and I'm like, wow, and you're like, no.
It cost $200.
Everyone's getting fired for this. Everyone's getting shot into space.
Yeah,
which ironically is going to cost so much more money.
They just don't. What are they doing? Mm. Anyway, it's good that it's in their best interest to get her back on board and just get another one of these going.
Yeah, right.
We don't need to see it within a year or even 2 years, but just, you know, get something going, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Justice League reshoots, though, the rumor is that they're going to be extensive. Joss Whedon's the guy who's... Obviously, we've talked about this. Zack Snyder had to step away for family reasons. So Joss Whedon's going to be taking over. Uh-huh. And they're going to go through June, July, and maybe into August.
And when's the movie coming out?
November.
Huh.
Seems close, doesn't it?
Sure does. But again, I don't know these figures. You could be like, they're still reshooting up until the day before it's released. And I could be like, oh, no. And you could be like, no, that's normal. It's normal.
Well, they reshot. They shot the Avengers shawarma scene. Like a week before
the movie came out.
I mean, they didn't reshoot 50% of the movie.
No, that's true, yeah.
But
and all they had to do, I mean, that was quite simple because it's like one frame.
Put him
in a
costume,
All they had to do is go to that guy's shawarma shop and smash it to pieces with hammers and then bring the cast in and then film it and then be like, later, loser. This is good for exposure.
Yeah, you'll
like
bye. I mean, if it's a 2 and a bit month shoot,
yep,
that's like the length of a regular shoot of a movie.
Yeah.
Apparently, though, we shouldn't panic. This is the story, as this is just for them to make the best movie possible.
Yeah.
But extensive reshoots.
They're going to put 8 more Wonder Woman scenes.
Yeah. Well, that I think that's probably a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think they've probably seen how well people kind of responded to that character,
uh-huh,
and kind of get on board. Did you see Henry Cavill also posted a picture of his legs in the Superman suit?
Hello, look at me. I got me legs.
I got my muscles and I got out of London. But you can see just the bottom part of the Superman suit, and it is the bluest and reddest suit you've ever seen.
Right.
Like, okay. They've really cranked it up.
Right. Okay.
Which they should.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a Superman suit. You're supposed to be able to, if it's nighttime, you're supposed to be able to tell the difference between him and Batman, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, it's not terrible news. Reshoots happen all the time, but we might be getting a very different movie than what was initially planned.
Yeah, right.
And the story was also that the original cut of Justice League, it's good. Like Warner Brothers were kind of happy with it and it flows well, but
right,
they're changing a lot of it regardless.
Okay.
Again, this is all rumors. Who bloody knows? Mm.
Well, Warner Brothers, you've got to be prepared for a guy to sue you like he did the last time, because Suicide Squad featured a number of things in the trailer that weren't in the movie. So
believe it. Yeah.
Get ready.
But hey, look, as long as it's good, I don't care. Or if it's really bad, then we can make fun of it.
That's
so
true.
Either way.
Win-win.
Win-win.
I mean, sure, after a while, they might stop making these and we'll be sad.
Yeah, that won't be good, will it?
Yeah.
Nah, just Flashpoint. Just reboot it all.
That's right.
Mason, you excited for the Dark Justice universe? Because I got some Dark Universe.
Yes. So Dark Justice is the Magic Justice League movie. We're not talking about that.
No.
We're talking about Dark Universe, the first movie of which is The Mummy.
Yes.
Yes.
Before we get to that, though, we've got a little bit of news.
I'm ready.
It's been confirmed that The Phantom of the Opera and The Hunchback of Notre Dame will join the Dark Universe.
Amazing.
Universe.
Incredible.
A murderer who follows a woman around a theater.
That's his whole thing. He doesn't fight crime. He doesn't interact with the wider world at all in many ways. He's just a creepy stalker murderer.
Who loves it playing the organ.
Yep.
And stepping out of mirrors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And The Hunchback of Notre Dame is a man with a hunch.
He's a deformed man, yes.
who helps another man, who helps a crazier man.
Yeah, that's true.
There was that Frankenstein movie recently, remember? It was the James McAvoy, Daniel Radcliffe was Igor.
That's right.
Igor,
it was kind of wacky, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a wacky one.
Good thing these properties are free.
Yeah, I know, right? They're in the public domain. And I think that's also a big problem with The Mummy, which we'll get into. We'll get into it right bloody now. Hang on a second. I just want to make a note here because I just thought of a thing.
Okay.
Here we go, Mason.
Is it about Daniel Radcliffe?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I have a note about Daniel Radcliffe.
Do you really? Go on.
Hello, it's me, Danny Radcliffe. I'm Danny now because I'm all grown up. when I start directing, I'll be Dan Radcliffe. That's how it works.
That is exactly how it works. Mm. Ron Howard used to be Ronaldson Howard.
Ronaldson Howardson, that's right.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so The Mummy.
Yeah, yeah.
This kind of ties in, but Wonder Woman made $200 million, will cross $200 million domestically in the US.
It's pretty good.
Which is good.
It's right? Good. Okay. Yeah. Shoot, nailed it.
Yeah. That'll happen probably this weekend with only a 47% drop off, which is also good.
Good. Mate. Okay, great. Good, good.
The Mummy will make maybe $30 million.
Oh, no. Yeah,
and it cost $140.
So that's good.
That's not good.
Oh, no.
I don't know, maybe you shouldn't spend $140 million on a... Anyway, we'll get into it.
Okay, let's get right into it.
Now, I mentioned I paid for this. I went and saw this with my dad.
Okay. So you paid?
I paid.
Oh, wow.
You know, because I'm like, I'm dragging you to this, so I'll pay for it. Uh-huh. And also, I can write it off for tax purposes.
Sure, right.
Uh-huh. So I bought tickets for...
Oh, well, you'll have to give your dad's opinion then at some point, because otherwise you can't write off his ticket.
Yeah, he hated it.
Okay, good. I'll sort it.
No good. He said, I think I liked it a little bit more than him. So I bought the two tickets online and I got there and I realized I bought them for the wrong cinema.
Terrific.
So I had to buy them again. So I spent $60 to see, maybe more, to
Incredible.
See this movie. Yeah. And they're like, you can get a refund if you call the head office. And I'm like, no, I've got too much going on.
All right. We've all got stuff going on.
I'll just wear it. Yeah. I feel like I'd be sadder if I spent an hour on the phone. Like, that's worth $60 for me to not
Fair enough, yeah.
do that. Anyway, Mason, we're going to do non-spoilers, then spoilers, but only brief non-spoilers
because there's not a lot to spoil. Yeah.
And not a lot of spoil. But what did you think the movie was about? Story-wise.
Oh.
I got that up, didn't I?
Yeah, you sure. All right, hang on. So, it's the past in ancient Egypt and there's a lady and she's evil and then they're like, don't be evil, we'll wrap you up as a mummy, we'll stick you in a box. And then they stick her in a box and then it's the present day and Tom Cruise's about being yep. a character who I'm going to refer to as Tom Cruise because
yep.
that's him. Nick Tom Cruise.
Is his name Nick?
It's Nick something.
It's not Jake?
No, it's Nick.
Okay, good.
But it could be Jake, it's fine. And he's in the army, he's in the recon patrol, but he's also a funny old schemer, and he's always trying to scam things and steal antiquities.
Sure he is.
He's in Iraq, and he's got his friend, the guy from New Girl.
Yeah.
He's hanging about.
And Jurassic World.
And they're going on wacky adventures and stealing antiquities.
They're buds.
But then they're in bloody Iraq, and then they uncover the Tomb of the Mummy, and also there's a Tomb of the Mummy in England. And will those tombs collide? across the ocean.
When tombs collide.
When tombs collide. Yeah. Anyway, that's the movie.
Yes.
Anyway, the mummy's released. They're going to fight the mummy. It's not important.
Yeah, that's right. That's and did you enjoy this movie?
I didn't hate it, but I feel I should have hated it.
Right. Like, did you go into it knowing that, like, you would have heard that it wasn't good going in?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody on Twitter said it was bad, so I guess I was set for it to be very bad.
But it's not that bad, is it? It's just nothing.
It's nothing, and it's nothing and kind of dumb, and you know what? It starts out dumb,
yep.
And the middle bit is quite good, and then the third act is real dumb.
Okay,
maybe
sure.
That's how it went.
I'll pay that, yeah. I just don't, and I said this, I did a review, I just don't think that it's not funnier or scarier than the previous Mummy.
No.
It's kind of, it sits in this weird middle ground where it wants to be a Tom Cruise action movie, but it's not even that good at doing that. And it's got small elements of shock and horror and jokes, but it doesn't come
together.
And
there's some real stunts, but you would be forgiven for thinking they're not real stunts.
Absolutely.
Like there's the
plane?
The zero gravity plane thing, which I'm like it took me a minute to go, I think this is real. Like, I think this is real, but maybe it, like, I'm pretty sure they did that in camera.
Yeah, they did.
There's so many quick cuts.
Yeah, exactly.
That you're like...
They did it 90 times.
Wow.
They went up and down, and everyone was vomiting, and Tom Cruise is like, we're doing this because we love movies. I'm not a psychopath.
Right. But see, that's the thing, like... There's no way for me to know if that was real or they just got Tom Cruise to do it 90 times and they CGI'd everybody else in.
Well, that's exactly right. And if that was one shot,
yep.
I used this example in my review. For the bit where he climbs outside the world's tallest building in Mission Impossible,
yep.
A lot of it is one shot. You see the scope of it. It's filmed in IMAX. There's a slow build up. This is kind of like there's a plane crash and then they float up and then it's over.
Yeah, right.
And like you said, it cuts so quickly that you don't even notice. There's another bit. You know, this isn't a spoiler, but also who cares? A double-decker bus falls on its side and slides towards him.
Oh, and he leaps through it.
And he jumps into it. He actually did that.
Yeah, right.
I've seen behind-the-scenes footage of him doing it.
Yeah.
But you don't get a sense of that
exactly.
at all.
They throw a bus at him. It's one of the most dangerous things you can do in Hollywood, have a bus thrown at
Correct.
You. Yeah.
I mean, it was a green, like he jumped into a green screen mat and whatever. Obviously,
yeah, right.
He was fine.
Uh-huh.
But he really did it.
Yeah. And if things went, see, that's the thing. If things went wrong, and I'm sure it went at a kind of a slower pace than you
sure.
see in the movie, and there would have been safety wires and whatever. But if something went wrong, he could have been splattered on the front of that bus.
He could have gone under it.
Yeah.
It would have been a whole thing. Mm. But, and even things like, you know, actually this sequence I didn't mind. There's a bit where the van rolls. Like they rolled a van in
yeah,
a blue
right.
screen kind of tunnel and threw him out of it.
Yeah.
But you, again.
I wouldn't have known
you
that.
You wouldn't have known that.
I would have known. Because you don't really even see him. You see him in the van.
Yeah.
But there's very little of him bouncing around. Like it could have just been cutaway CGI.
Absolutely. You know. And there was, and they're cutting away anyway. So who,
yeah.
who cares?
There's a
about
scene
any
where
of it?
Him and the guy from New Girl
yeah.
and Jurassic World are on a building and the building collapsed. I think that's a real bit.
That's a real.
But again, I don't know if that's just him on the roof and they've CGI'd
no,
in
it
the
is
guy
him.
From.
It's
but I mean, did they CGI in the guy from
no,
New
he
Girl?
Was there too.
I was there too. Great.
But you could have.
Because his vibe is infectious.
You could have done the one take.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could have sat the camera on them and just had the whole thing fall down and they kind of react
yeah,
as,
right.
as it happens. But, you know, it cuts away to a distance so you can't see him. Then it cuts up close and they roll through dust so you can't see him.
Yeah, right.
It's so bizarre.
Mm.
Like, if he's doing this stuff and you're marketing it as Tom Cruise is crazy, he's doing his own stunts and plane crashes, it needs to be evident in the movie itself. Otherwise,
yeah.
it's fucking pointless.
Yeah, right.
You're just wasting everyone's
yeah.
time.
It's weird that they didn't, because they in the trailer they show the plane crash, the famous
yeah.
plane crash in the film, but they don't show the bit where he's bouncing up and down in the zero gravity plane. Show
I
that.
I think they do a little
nah.
bit for like seconds.
Oh, okay, well, maybe they
yeah.
do. Maybe they show a full minute of it. I wasn't really paying attention.
Well, that's the thing. I fell asleep during this. And
it's really?
And I'm really tired, right?
Uh-huh.
This is like, I saw it the day after my wife went away. I was up with my kid or whatever. Like,
you're
this
like,
is,
maybe she's never coming back.
Maybe she's never coming
maybe
back.
Maybe she'll yeah. find love in Copenhagen.
It's very possible.
Mm.
But so I was tired going into this. But I know that I've seen movies really tired.
Yes.
And if it's good enough, you know, I'm awake. I only fell asleep for like a minute, but I missed the big mummy sand face. I missed
right.
that entirely, but uh-huh. I've seen that, so who cares? And
uh-huh.
I think I might maybe miss some other stuff or whatever.
See,
but
some of it's quite imaginative, I thought.
Yeah.
Some of
underwater
like,
mummies?
Underwater mummies.
Bang up for it.
Again, the there's a sand face in London, and I'm like, how are they going to do sand in London? But there's a kind of creative way they do that, yeah. And it's interesting.
It's in the trailers as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, she explodes all the glass in London.
And all the glass is from Egypt.
I don't know. No, I don't think that's true.
Yeah. Mm.
That'd be weird. There'd have to be a scene from, like, the 1700s where they're like, we're going to found this town and we're going to only use the finest Egyptian glass. I don't know when England was founded.
No idea.
Yeah.
1600s? No, I mean, London itself.
Oh, okay.
1600s, is it?
Only the finest Egyptian glass.
But
I'm getting out of the chimney sweep game and into the glass blowing game.
But yeah, I agree. Like, they went to some interesting locations.
Yep.
And London is, like, there's actually a chase sequence in The Mummy Returns on a double-decker bus where they go through London,
right,
and fight mummies. That's not a great movie, but that's kind of a fun-ish kind of,
yeah,
moment.
See, this movie tried very hard, I think, to be a fun romp of a movie, which I love.
You love a romp.
Potentially, it could have been a high-standard romp.
Yeah.
The two genres that I love the most.
Yeah.
But it felt very contrived. Like, it starts off and Tom Cruise is like, hey, guy from New Girl in Jurassic World, we're going to go into this town and we're gonna get all the treasures. And the guy from New Girl in Jurassic World's like, no way, man, I'm not getting into this. And Tom Cruise is like, no, it'll be fun. And then it cuts to them and they're running from all the soldiers. And it's
just to be clear, he doesn't convince him by saying, oh, it'll be fun. He slashes his water bag.
Correct, yes.
So he has to do it.
Or he'll die.
Or he'll die in the desert.
Yeah, right.
Tom Cruise is very likable and charming in this movie or whatever, but he's a total prick in this.
I don't think he's even that likable.
Yeah.
I think he's, I think, it's, and it's
true.
Weird because,
I mean, just, like, sorry, his screen presence. Like, he's watchable. I like seeing him, yeah.
But I think it's interesting that Tom Cruise generally doesn't go in for this sort of character.
Yeah.
Like these days anyway.
Well, he's got one coming up called where he's going to smuggle cocaine for the government,
right,
which looks interesting. But
anyway, cocaine dogs, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, maybe he's trying to stretch as an actor or something. But under normal circumstances, like, he's ultimately a good guy and he doesn't have any bad qualities. But in this movie, he's like,
he's stealing shit.
He's stealing stuff and he's blackmailing people with, you know, death.
Yeah.
And he's sleeping with women, but he's not that good in bed, apparently. How did that? It's weird that they convinced him to do this.
Yeah.
His character isn't that.
Because he's always the greatest man in the movie.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know what's weird, and this carries over from, I think, what I said about when we did Mission Impossible. There's no scene of this. You know what? I'll save it for spoilers, actually.
Okay, right.
I'll get to it because I want to talk. It's about him and how he interacts with women in his films.
Right, okay, sure.
Okay. What do you think of his hair?
It's not his greatest hair,
It's his Mission Impossible 6 hair, is it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Wait, has there been 6?
Yes. Was that the plane one? No, that was 5.
That's 5. I think there's only been 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's his 5 hair.
It's not his best hair.
It's not
flippity-floppity enough.
It's not flippity-floppity enough, and it's not crew-cutty enough.
Yeah.
It's like they just got him off the street, like, in between movies, and were like, you want to do another movie in between the movies you like to do or whatever?
He was like, absolutely!
Let's do it!
Big smile!
It's the vibe! I'm starting my vibe.
Yeah, but I think he was fine. He's Tom Cruise. You can't really fault him. He throws himself into everything, even if it's shit.
Uh-huh.
Like, he sung all his own songs for Rock of Ages.
Oh, right.
Like, he was an Axl Rose style.
Gotcha.
I didn't say it, but apparently it was shit. But, you know, he got into that. I also like the mummy herself.
Yeah, she's great.
In a better movie, that's a terrifying villain.
That's true.
She's got the physicality of it. She looks spooky. There's
a lot
some
of
good special effects.
Her minions are very scary and effective, I think.
That's it, yeah. Mm. There's spiders, which are fine.
The spiders are fine. We only see them briefly.
But the girl who I don't know her name or the name of the actress is just kind of whatever.
She's there.
Yeah, she's in it, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Is the Russell Crowe thing a spoiler? Because somebody made a comment in my review that that's a spoiler who he is, but it's in trailers. I've seen it.
Do they say who he is by name?
Or maybe they don't.
So we'll save it for spoilers.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, a whole lot of him.
Anyway, he gets to do some funny accents, doesn't he?
He certainly does. But I'm just going to cut that out and move it into spoilers so I can remember to come back to it, merry old bloody Russell Crowe, mate. Okay. So the action sequences, the plane is underwhelming.
Yep.
The car bit's fine. The spinning van. I like how he's kind of telepathically linked to her, so he keeps being drawn back to her. Logically, he's trying to fight it, but he.
Yeah, I thought that was fun, yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a drone, because that wouldn't have been that interesting.
No, the bus is fine, I guess. And all, but he's really good at hitting the ground. Like,
oh, sure, yeah.
In the head, and he'll crack his head on a stair or something.
Yeah.
Like, he's quite good at that. Like, he'll do a fall. Like, he's 54.
Yeah.
But the stuff that he does is still incredible. Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
How long can he do this for, though, where you'll believe that he's a man in his late to early 40s, I guess, doing all kind of stuff? Like, do you think, how many more of these can he do before people are like,
I reckon he'll keep doing it until he breaks something. Like, he'll break a leg or...
I think it would have to be, like, a femur or his spine something. Like, he'll have to really hurt himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, oh, that got real.
Fingers crossed. Like, and even, like, they talked up the fight that he has with Russell Crowe, but it's fine. It's whatever. It's mostly Russell Crowe kind of hitting him and him flying about.
That's true.
Like, he's doing all the heavy lifting.
Right.
But it's, like I said, though, I think it's a mistake. If you're going to do The Mummy, you can't do it the same as the last one, right?
Yep.
Which is a shame because they're fun. But those movies, as much as people like them, they're done. They killed it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They got progressively worse to the point where nobody saw the third one.
But the first one's kind of still kind
it's
of a classic.
It's great. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
But I think you should go horror. You put you put less money into it,
yep.
And you do like you do more of a kind of throwback to what they used to be, and you make it genuinely scary. That's the way you do it, because it's not scary at all.
No, it's not scary at all.
Yeah,
right.
And that's probably
Maybe for like tiny moments at a time.
Right.
There's like a scene, there's a scene in
Under a pier.
Yeah, under that's a pier night good, yeah. After the plane crash, which is quite good. Mm. What do you think about? When I said, the first bit's kind of dumb and the end's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
You know what it was? The first bit, there's just the tiniest brief bit of, like, a scene, and then there's just a really long Russell Crowe voiceover.
I don't even remember.
That explains the whole premise of the whole thing, and it's too much and it's weird. And
that's also kind of...
And kind of how it's kind of how it ends as well.
Yeah, and that's also kind of... They stole a lot of that from the original Mummy. Not the original Mummy. The 99 Mummy opens up like that. It's like the guy who's supposed to be protecting the tomb, like, and then he did this, and then he was cursed and whatever. So I guess they just took that. But no, in hindsight, I do not care for it. Mm. Do you care for it?
Not really.
Yeah.
What did
Especially
you think?
At the end.
Mm, yeah.
When he's like, and maybe dark forces could come together and we'll make a dark universe. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It sure is. What are we in, some kind of dark universe? Well, Eminem without me.
Before we get into spoilers, I have a question. They scrapped Dracula Untold from this universe, right?
Oh, okay, right.
That was going to kick off the Dark Universe.
Uh-huh.
But they went, this isn't good enough. People didn't respond well to it. It didn't make enough money. I don't think this is worse than that.
I think it's about the same.
In hindsight, I might have even enjoyed Dracula. I might have enjoyed Dracula Untold more.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. It's not. Yeah. This is definitely not better.
Yeah. It's more expensive.
Yes, sure is. So for anybody who has just started listening, perhaps,
yeah.
Every year on this show we do some awards. We give out some awards, and every year we give out an award for when the game was on.
Yes.
Now, recently I've watched that scene again. That's not what's said.
No, the game begins or something like that.
It's let the games begin.
That's right.
So at the end of Dracula, if you haven't seen Dracula Untold, it's been in the past. It's hundreds of years in the past. But then after the movie ends, it cuts to the modern day, and Dracula, who up until this point couldn't exist in the daylight, is just hanging out on the streets of Italy or something, right?
Yep.
And he sees his wife. He sees a woman who looks exactly like his wife
presumably
from hundreds of years
reincarnated,
ago. Reincarnated or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just a woman who looks like her or whatever, but she's been dead for hundreds of years. And he's like, oh, and he follows her.
Yeah.
But, and then we see Charles Dance.
The original vampire.
Who hundreds of years ago was like a hideous Nosferatu-esque vampire who gives Dracula his powers.
Yeah.
But now he's just a normal man in a suit and he's sitting in a cafe.
In the sun.
And he stands up and he goes... Initially, we thought he said, oh, the game is on. But he says, let the games begin, right? And all of it is clearly set up. It's set up to produce either at least a sequel, but probably a franchise. But the idea, but it's so ham-fisted.
Yeah.
And clearly all those elements were just, they threw darts
in a dartboard.
It alludes to nothing. Because it's like, and, you know, I would kind of be interested in the further adventures of Dracula in the modern day.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how he survives the last 500 years or 600 years or whatever it was. But clearly they just went, What could we have? All right, it's modern day. All right, he's can walk in daylight. Charles Dance is still around. His wife's back. He's in Italy or something. Just that's fine. And they just threw random ideas at it, hoping one of them would hook people in it. But they're so just weird and ham-fisted. So every year we give out an award, which we're still going to keep calling the award for when the game was on, which is where it's the most ham-fisted attempt to build a sequel or franchise that obviously is not going to work. And you know what? We've got a front runner here. And again, it's the same franchise. They're trying it again and they're going to win the award again. Ta-da! Because they just went, all right, just put some bottles in a lab that have
a Dracula skull.
Skull or some bits from the Creature of the Black Lagoon or like a hunch. Presumably there's a real big barrel. Yeah, there's a big jar with a hunch in it and whatever. The Phantom of the Opera's organ is there for some reason. Just throw it in and be like, maybe people are interested. We're not interested.
But that's the thing. We're not interested because we've seen this 1,000 times.
Yeah, right.
You can't tease me with a vampire skull. You know how many fucking vampire movies I've seen?
We've probably seen like 3 this year.
Exactly. Like, yeah. They're in public domain. Anybody can make them.
Yeah.
Other studios are making them.
It's not like we're going, oh, finally, we're going to see Dracula again.
Yeah.
We just saw him. The game was on. We just saw him, all right?
And this is also tied into that. This is one of the only times. This was like 2013, maybe?
Yeah, right.
14, where I was away, but they were corresponding with you,
yes,
the studio.
Big mistake.
So that you'd interview the cast of Dracula Untold. And they reached out to us.
Yeah.
And then they were like, do you want to speak to them? And we were still early days, so we were like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But they were like, okay, cool. Send through all your credentials and examples of things that, you know, interviews that you've done. And we're like, we told you. We never interviewed anyone. We don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not going out of our way to speak to the cast of Dracula Untold.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So anyway, good on him.
Yeah. Anyway, great.
They're back with another shit thing.
Oh, also, this isn't a spoiler because it doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, the woman character, whose name I cannot recall, I'm sorry, hits another guy with the Book of the Dead from the 1999 The Mummy.
Yes. Are they the same universe?
I don't think they are. No.
I that was one bit where I went, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
but no.
That's interesting to me that these might be tied.
But I think that was just a nod to the original. Yeah, we didn't forget the original. You kind of did.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that it?
That's it, I think.
Yeah.
God, look what is found in my pocket.
A dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
They're called pacifiers in the US.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. You're a dummy, by
You're
the
a
way.
Dummy.
Anyway, it's not terrible, but it's the worst movie ever.
Now that I think, like, it was fine, but yeah, again, even compared to Dracula Untold, I guess it's the worst movie ever.
Spoilers!
It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of level out the horribleness of a lot of these characters, like how to put them on the team. Because if you recall in Dracula Untold,
yes,
if we're going to constantly go back to that, obviously we're, because that's when the game was on.
They could, as I said in my review, though, it could be the same universe.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason they couldn't
just have him show up again. But, like, Dracula is one of the most, you know, famous, fearsome movie monsters of all time. He's this epitome of evil.
There's misunderstood elements of him.
Yeah.
But generally speaking,
like, his origin is that he was this bloodthirsty human, right, ruler who put people's heads on spikes because he's based on a real guy. But in Dracula Untold, he was this nice, benevolent ruler. And the time when he was this bloodthirsty tyrant who put people's heads on spikes, well, that's just behind me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's just, we don't really talk about it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder how they're going to, like, get around Mr. Hyde being clearly a dangerous psychopath and the Phantom of the Opera being a murderer. Because you kind of have to find a way to not rewrite the originals, but you could even say, I guess you could say that they're like, some of these stories, the characters were misunderstood or like,
yeah, and I would
this
say
is
like
the official story.
Igor, you could say that, I guess.
But like the Invisible Man's a murderer.
Yeah.
He's a definite bad guy.
And a pervert.
He's a pervert also. He's always going to the high school gym and checking out the girls changing, you know.
That's exactly it. I think they went, we can't do Van Helsing because we did Van Helsing and everybody like, Van Helsing is fine.
Yeah,
I mean, it wouldn't work. That movie would be torn apart now. But
yeah,
it was fine for when it came out.
Yes.
Right? It's a Hugh Jackman project and whatever. I think the idea that there is a guy or a couple of people, like a team, hunting various monsters.
Yes.
Is way more interesting than clearly terrible, terrible creatures that people like seeing terrible, do terrible things.
Yeah.
Coming together to fight.
No one. There's no one to fight. Exactly. Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. So Russell Crowe is Dr. Jekyll.
Yes.
And he does a whole speech at the end, like you said, about monsters can fight other monsters. To fight a monster, you need a different monster and whatever. Because Tom Cruise gets mummy powers.
He gets the most vague of mummy powers.
He can suck the life out of a woman.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a metaphor for his marriages.
Yep.
Nah, he's all right. I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah.
But
he literally kisses a woman against her will to death. That's Tom Cruise, baby. That's his vibe. He keeps that vibe going.
But this is what I was talking about earlier in non-spoilers. We haven't seen Tom Cruise, and this is probably not true. Like, there are exceptions to this, like that Rock of Ages story. We haven't seen him on screen romance somebody and kiss a person genuinely and it be well received recently. People right. do not like seeing Tom Cruise with actual women.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the scene, like the romance with the woman whose name I can't recall.
Yeah.
who may be in a sequel, but maybe not.
Yep.
They might replace her with somebody else.
That's
who looks
fine.
Quite similar.
Yeah.
That's not actually seen. It's only referred to in retrospect.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. And he's just kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like the era of him Jerry Maguire-ing and charming a person is done. Because his real-life persona is perceived as so bizarre.
That
I don't think people can accept that he's a regular guy.
That's absolutely
who
true.
Can fall in love with a woman.
You know what would have been more interesting is in this movie at the end he's the bad guy now because he gains the powers of Set, the god of death.
Yeah,
and then
he is him, I guess, also.
And then he just uses them to again kiss a woman to death and then bring the
A woman to life off screen.
Off screen, yeah, right.
And did he kiss that guy to life?
I don't know. Also. Yeah, like I assume that the only reason he can bring that guy back.
Oh, sorry. If you don't care and you're listening to this,
yes,
but you didn't see it. He has his best friend from
the New Girl in
Jurassic World. Is dies and then he comes back.
He's
at the
killed
end.
By a spot. Oh, he's infected. He becomes a
drone,
like a thrall, a minion to the mummy because of a spider bite.
Yeah,
a magic spider bite.
Yeah,
and then Tom Cruise shoots him to death.
Yes.
And then he dies in a plane crash. But then he comes back, and then he's incorporeal or a phantom or inside Tom Cruise's head or something. And then at the end of the movie, when Tom Cruise gains the powers of the god of death, he brings that guy back bodily to death as just a regular human again.
And they go on adventures.
But like, I assume he can only do that to that guy because that guy died via magic and then being shot to death and then dying in a plane crash.
Maybe.
Like... Because it would be weird. It would be a weird
thing. The other woman didn't die from magic. She drowned.
That's true. Then I don't know. Yeah, well, it's kind of a game-breaking element.
It 100% is.
That's the thing. Like, that's okay. If you have a character who can bring back the dead, but they're the bad guy, that's fine because they can be off in the shadows and you don't know what they're going to do. And maybe they'll bring back Hitler or they'll bring back the worst monsters ever or what have you. Or they'll have the power of life and death and they'll be like, you do some evil and I'll bring back your friend or whatever. All that works.
Hitler would do well on Twitter, wouldn't he, in the modern day?
Oh, absolutely. He'd be fine. He gets so many followers. But you can't have a good guy with the power of life and death.
No.
Because then the question becomes immediately, why don't you just go around and bring people back to life?
That should be what you do all the time.
Exactly. And if you can't, it should be a movie about the morality and the ethics of bringing people back to life.
Yeah.
It'd stop being a movie about movie monsters and start being a movie about, well, the population's quite large already and there's food shortages, so I don't think it'd be ethically correct to bring people back. I mean, maybe I'll bring back certain people because they're important to the future of the world, but who am I to judge that? Can we build, let's get the UN involved. You know what I mean? If you've got that power, it can't be a movie monster move anymore. So they should have made it where he's like, okay, we're back. You know, it's good. Let's go on some adventures. And then he just goes and he kills a village of people for some reason or whatever. And then you go, oh no, he's the bad. Wouldn't that be great to have Tom Cruise as a villain? Like,
I
100%
agree. That's a great idea.
Maybe they could, you know what maybe they could do is they could just, maybe in the first, maybe this one, he's like, let's go on some adventures. And in the next one, you see him, and then the guy from Jurassic World's like, I didn't sign on for this. What's going on, kind of thing. And then it turns out Tom Cruise is turning evil.
Right,
that would work. And then he's behind the scenes. He's becoming the big villain.
And then the other monsters have to fight.
Exactly. But now what's the point? Because now if you get, and again, I guess maybe they're going to build some side Civil War style.
Right.
Because then, I guess if you have Henry Jekyll.
Yeah.
And then he turns into Mr. Hyde.
Right.
He's kind of the one in the middle, and you don't know which way he's going to go. So I guess you could have a team of good monsters and a team of bad monsters.
Yeah. What do you think of that Jekyll effect?
Not great.
It's just whatever.
Here's the thing also. If you've lived with that for years, why
you're
is
on
your,
top of it.
Why is your defense of that a case that you have to open up and then you have to individually hand load four different things as you're going mad?
Just one thing.
Just first of all, just one thing for anybody who hasn't watched it and is still listening for some reason. Henry Jekyll is obviously he was in that accident. What happens in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? I can't remember.
I think he creates a formula
to make him better.
Yeah, or something
the
like
clump
that.
Style.
Yeah,
Nutty Professor style.
I read it years ago.
Same.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So anyway, and he turns into the Mr. Hyde.
Also, it's finite. So, like, when he runs out of formula, he dies.
Yeah, that's right.
I think
right,
that's the original story. I might be wrong. Anyway,
So Mr. Hyde is all his evil impulses brought to life. And I guess he's stronger? Or maybe he's just got Russell Crowe strength.
He might
I don't
have
know.
Russell Crowe
strength. But anyway,
he's got Russell Crowe's mass.
Yeah, in this, at certain points, it's never explained why, but it seems to be just a timing thing.
Yeah.
Eventually, Mr. Hyde starts taking over and he gets all veiny in his face and his eyes glow a bit red.
But it's not like days. It's like every few hours.
Yeah, right. But anyway, in order to fix that, he's got a little case on
when
his desk.
When does he sleep? Anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
go on.
He's got a little case on his desk and presumably one of his interns fiddles with it. He's got like an injection thing and it's got four individual chemical elements to it.
Sure,
he plugs it in and then he pulls off his glove. He wears one glove like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And he injects it into his
hand.
Because
he's got a Jekyll hand.
Yeah, and then he's not.
His hand's all scarred, isn't it?
Yeah, and then he's not Mr. Hyde anymore. But if you've been living with that for years and you have this seemingly unlimited resources of this prodigium organization that he runs, have a device, you could contrive a situation where that doesn't work. Like maybe, like you could have, he has a pack and there's a system and it delivers him this anti Mr. Hyde serum every couple of hours. But then you could have a situation where like the mummy attacks him and it breaks and then he has to go back to this.
Yeah.
But don't say off the bat he has to have this elaborate system that he has to reload every time he needs it. It's precarious
it's like
at best.
It's like his big as like a pipe bomb as well.
Yeah,
like,
right, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway,
it's not very good, is it?
It's not very good.
So he gets monster face when he becomes the mummy, the god of death.
Tom Cruise does,
which isn't
for
very,
a second, yeah.
Yeah, which isn't very mummy-like, and you don't get a good look at him after that because he's kind of in the shadows, and then at the end he's kind of covered up. But what is he exactly? He's just got a bit of CGI face and sharp teeth and whatever. But the other thing is the magic blood thing.
Yes.
Sorry. The magic blood thing from Star Trek.
Yes.
Into Darkness.
It's the same director.
The guy
right?
who wrote that.
Oh, it's the same writer.
This.
Okay, right.
You'd think that he realized that that's a game breaking element bringing this universe. Anyway, I just think it should be a guy killing monsters or monsters running amok, and each movie has a different protagonist who has to stop it.
Yeah.
Even if it's told from the monster's perspective and they're bad.
Well, I mean, there's options here. And again, just because the first two movies in a franchise, just because one movie in a franchise was so bad they cancelled the franchise, and then the second movie in the franchise was so bad they could potentially cancel the franchise again, it doesn't mean that the next ones can't be okay. And I would be fine with it's this team and everybody in this prodigium is human, except for Dr. Jekyll, who could go mad at any time.
Yep.
And they go and they hunt the rest of the monsters.
Right, yeah.
I guess that's fine.
But, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Mm.
Also, I don't...
I'd also be okay with it being stories from the perspective of the monsters.
Yeah.
And they live in fear of this team or something. I don't know.
Just something other than this.
Something other than this would have been good, yeah.
I love how you were like, it was fine, but then it's just... The more you think about it,
the more I think about it. Immediately, as I came out of it, I'm like, oh, this is not bad. It was okay, fine, great. But as I've had more time to think about it, this is one of those movies, I think, that if we were to revisit this in a week, I'm sure I'd hate it. So.
There you go. Well, let's see if other people hated it, because we've got some tweets here.
Hello.
This is from Metal Eugenio, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Saw the mummy. Why didn't the ancient Egyptians just break the red stone?
Correct.
Good question.
Very good question.
Oh, yeah, there's knights in this, isn't there?
Mm.
Joel Allen says.
I thought it was interesting the way that the mummy's influence worked even when she was, you know, dead or comatose or what have you, and she sort of contrived a way to get the two elements together. I thought that was pretty
good. Yeah, totally.
That was pretty good. Like, she needed to get to London because the Crusaders had taken her magical weapon to London.
Yeah.
So she had to get everybody on the plane and then have the plane crash in London. I thought that was quite good.
I agree.
Mm.
Joel Allen says, I liked the mummy. Solid Dark Universe logo. I didn't like the American Werewolf in London zombie-like character, though. Yeah, that is from that, isn't it?
Yeah.
The zombie friend character. Pronounceable Name says, first movie in the Dark Universe. The mummy decides to open with a new logo. Hashtag counting their chickens.
Yeah, oh, look, you know what? I was going to say I did like the Dark Universe logo. I thought it was fun because you see Universal and you see Dark Universe.
It's very good.
It's gone the other way. It's good.
And then it says, hashtag the game is not afoot.
Yes.
That's from Anthony. Walked out of the mummy. A kid in front of me let up his phone and I saw that we're only an hour in. Worst movie ever. Dakota says, just got done watching the mummy. Really enjoyed it and thought it was a decent start. And Cyberdyne Fury says, can't wait for the Mummy reboot to get a darker and grittier reboot to fix the Dark Universe expanded cinematic universe.
Good.
Do you think they'll reboot? The next one's Bride of Frankenstein, which is another weird one to go with.
Uh-huh.
Don't you want to do Frankenstein first?
Not necessarily.
Then again, you know who Frankenstein is, don't you?
Exactly, yeah.
You're right.
And also, if this is an established universe and there's this team that's there to fight monsters. Mm. It'd be weird if none of the monsters existed yet.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, we have to have a Frankenstein now. I like the idea. I would like the idea. And again, we know it's Frankenstein's monster. You know what? The real monster is the person who keeps pointing out that it's actually Frankenstein's monster. Anyway, the point is that I would quite like the idea that Frankenstein's monster was built in the 1800s.
Right.
And he's still alive
now. He's still around, still kicking about.
Yeah.
Well, I also got the sense of the way that Jekyll was dressing. Like, is he from the past?
Oh, maybe.
Like, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all this weird oldie-worldy stuff. Like, it's possible, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
yeah.
No good.
Anyway, looking forward to Johnny Depp as Invisible Man. Just kidding. Actually not.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Anyway, that's enough, isn't it?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well, you know what it's time for.
Our famous segment.
What we reading?
And what we gonna read.
I'm doing the thing.
Yeah, same.
I thought of a thing, but I didn't write it down, so I can't remember
what I read or did. Well, first of all, I'm going to rewatch The Mummy 1999 with Brendan Fraser.
I wanted to do that before this.
Yes.
Because when I saw that book, I'm like, that's right, I remember this.
Yeah, right?
This
real
is
good.
Movie.
Yeah.
And we also, this went up earlier in the week, but we played The Mummy on PlayStation 1.
Yeah, we did. That's true.
It's one of my favorite ones that we've done.
Yeah.
I've been edited. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's this terrible game, but it was a lot of fun.
Nice. I agree.
Some of the best graphics we've seen.
Mm.
Some of the funniest, certainly. What else, Mason?
You know what? Last week I got a recommendation from our friends over at Serious Issues.
Oh, very good.
The Serious Issues discussion group on Facebook.
The podcast that's all about comic books.
Comic books. And I've got another one here. Somebody on that group posted an article about it. It's like it's an indie comic. It's called Copra, C-O-P-R-A, and it's like you know how Watchmen was based on some like another universe's comic book characters, and Alan Moore was like, I'm gonna take these and make original characters, make this overarching story about it. Well, Copra is basically it's like an indie comic. It's based on Suicide Squad. And it kind of takes a lot of the there's like 30 issues out. It's been going for a while.
Right.
And I'm gonna work my way through it. I think so. It's kind of like
who does it?
Just some rando.
Some rando.
Michel Pfeiffer. I think he might be his French. He does the
do
he writes it and he does the art.
Oh.
But it's kind of like it's like a Suicide Squad, but and it's based on like you know those kind of character tropes. But it's more it's like Watchmen. It's a character. It's a series where anything can happen. Because like in Suicide Squad,
yeah,
Like they've got Deadshot, they've got Harley Quinn, they've got Killer Croc. You can't kill them now, can you?
I mean, it's too late. But they come back.
Yeah, exactly. There's no stakes. But apparently, this is a series that I haven't gotten into it yet, but it looks good, and it's kind of like it's a series that's got stakes. So
speaking of no stakes, bloody Dark Universe, mate.
Got him good.
Wish I used that earlier.
Yeah,
it would have made way more sense.
Would have been good. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't remember what I've been doing. My life continues to trundle along.
Good.
Let's get
terrific.
The vibe up, Mason.
Get the vibe going,
what
baby.
I've done something.
You tell me what you've done while I do a thing on my phone that I always do every week.
Okay. Are you looking for a letter? Oh, you're getting the thing ready.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, very good.
Anyway, what was the thing you were thinking?
I can't remember. If I think of it, I'll come back to it. If not, I've done nothing.
Fantastic.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. Another here right now, we're going to do letters.
I can chuck this into. This is sort of what I was reading. I bought a PlayStation 2 so we can do some more Caravan of Garbage stuff.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
And I bought some games from the past that I've been trialing. I don't want to spoil them, Mason, but we've got some doozies coming up. The one for this Tuesday is not a PlayStation game, but it's one of the first Spider-Man games that we played through the first level or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That's out on Tuesday. It'll be on the Patreon already.
I don't remember what it is, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. But nice. You definitely did it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Good. Excellent. Yeah. So Matt edited that one. Yeah. If you're listening to this, it's up on the Patreon, but if not, it'll be up on the Tuesday. So there you go. All right. Mason, do you want to do your letter?
Oh, here's a letter. This is from Ben Marriott.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Long time whacker to do. First time whacker to writer. So do you think, this is related to, I guess, the Mummy and et cetera. Do you think star power is less significance these days? It doesn't feel like putting big names in projects has as big an effect on box office. Recent examples being this week's Mummy,
yep,
that had its predicted weekend lowered, and The Rock's Baywatch that went bay unwatched by many.
Oh, this guy's great.
I know. Seeing some names like a Johnny Depp actively puts me off seeing a movie.
Agreed,
yeah. I don't want to see The Invisible Man. No. I don't want to see, yeah.
Well, you won't, Mason, because he's bloody invisible.
Ah, the vibe. Are there any actors you will watch every film of? Do you find you're more likely to follow directors than actors?
Yes.
See, I would have said The Rock. But I didn't see
Baywatch.
I didn't see Baywatch. I didn't see that one he did with Kevin Hart because it looked atrocious. Like there's limits, isn't there?
There are absolutely limits.
Yeah.
But I think there are directors that I will see everything of or most things of, and there are franchises that I'll see.
Danny
everything.
Boyle.
That's exactly.
You
what
won't
I was
shut
of.
Up about Danny Boyle.
He's great, Mason.
All right.
Like I'll see anything Christopher Nolan does.
Yeah.
Obviously,
okay.
Even if I don't necessarily like it, I'll still see it.
I'm not even that brand loyal. It seems clearly.
But you are.
I was going to say maybe Steven Soderbergh or something, but
I've missed a few of his. Yeah. I didn't see the one. With Gina Carano.
Oh, Haywire.
I didn't say that.
That had Gina Carano, had Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I think Fassbender's in that as well.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I didn't see
That's a good one.
Yeah, is it? Okay,
yeah.
Good. He's back as well, isn't he? He was like, I retired, but now he's like, I'm back, I'm doing another thing.
See, that's the thing. Maybe I should say that, but I don't have that loyalty.
I do not know. But
I'm trying to think of a movie.
Well, obviously we do. Would you see all the Marvel and DC movies regardless? Like, eventually? Like would there be
yes,
some
yes I would yeah
but would there be some that you wouldn't go out and see, like thinking back to the ones like say Thor the
no,
Dark World
no
would
I'd
you,
say, no I
would
have seen,
gone to see
I would have absolutely seen Thor the Dark World. Yeah, I guess I'm brand loyal than I am. Like even if we didn't do this,
yeah,
I'd still see those dumb movies.
So when we started this, you hadn't seen a few. I remember you hadn't seen Man of Steel.
That's true, I hadn't. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right. Yeah.
So do you think that's maybe because we do this every week and you've now got a because you're so in it that
maybe
been conditioned.
No, but I think maybe before, like as recently, maybe as even a few years ago, they weren't as consistently, at least interesting.
Yeah,
like maybe something like a Green Lantern. It wasn't a good movie.
Did you see that at the cinema?
No, but I've seen it since.
Yeah, I didn't
but
see
it wasn't
that.
Even. But it wasn't interesting.
Yeah,
but at least these movies, like Justice League, probably. I say probably. It may not be good, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And all the Marvel movies haven't all been great, but at least they've been interesting.
Right,
like
yeah.
At least, like, I didn't think Doctor Strange was great, but at least it had some interesting visuals and et cetera.
Sure.
But I wouldn't go into pre-Green Lantern or whatever those movies. I wouldn't go, oh, there's going to be some interesting visuals in Green Lantern.
Yeah,
I know there wouldn't have been. It would have been dull, and he makes a green machine gun. Who cares?
That's exactly what happens.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a thing that used to happen more. But I think now it really depends on the opening weekend is like social media and buzz and getting people talking about it. That's what gets people to cinemas and brand awareness. I think if you slap Tom Cruise on a movie,
yep,
that doesn't necessarily sell unless it's a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, right.
Like if you look, for example, Russell Crowe's Robin Hood. Like
yes.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Nobody, right.
You know what I mean? Like it makes no sense, but there are a few of those Hollywood stars that they're still regarded, you know, as you know, really
money
popular.
In the bank.
You know, like a Brad Pitt or whatever. But even yep. then, I don't go and see every Brad Pitt movie. No. I don't know anybody who does.
And you're right. I was just, you know, I'm thinking, well, Tom Cruise is compelling. I've seen a few of his, but I've just looked at his thing here. I haven't seen a Jack Reacher.
Yep.
I didn't see Oblivion. I didn't see Rock of Ages. I didn't see Jack Reacher again. I didn't see Night and Day. Like the
I think that one he kisses a girl.
Oh, there you go. Good on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, prior to Ghost Protocol, I saw Valkyrie, Tropic Thunder.
He's Valkyrie's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
We saw that, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
I think on video, though. On not VHS. We yes, hired it.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. I guess the answer's no.
Yeah.
The age of the star is over.
I think there's definitely, like, they help. I would say yeah. Chris Pratt is a draw.
Yes.
But I will see Jurassic World regardless. Like, I didn't see Passengers because I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. And also, I think it's kind of... It's very apparent now what movies for people are paycheck movies and what movies are
right,
maybe
yeah.
passion. No, not even passion movies, but I don't know, just movies to fill the hours.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Like,
just get your numbers up.
Yeah, like Robert Downey Jr., you know, has he done a movie in between any of these Marvel movies?
Yeah, he did one where he had to defend his dad as a lawyer. He did okay. Sherlock Holmes.
Right, okay.
He's done movies.
Okay, right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking of specifically of like Rough Night. Like, I like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I'm not going to see that.
I'm not going to see that, yeah. am I? Because it seems like a paycheck movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got good people in it. It's got Ilana Glazer from Broad City.
And she and wrote it, apparently.
Yeah,
but
right.
But
It doesn't look good
at all. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Like, I don't need to see.
Yeah, look, I think I need a combination of a star I like and a premise that doesn't look unbelievably stupid.
Sure. Or really stupid.
Yeah. Nothing in between.
I'd be interested to know what people, like what gets people on Twitter.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah.
Email in at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
And also there's got to be someone out there who sees every movie by a particular star and we go, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we say that?
Yeah. I'm
trying to think, Bradley Cooper? No.
No.
Limitless was so boring.
I also think that I'm more loyal to TV than I am to movies.
Right,
good
sure.
TV, that
sure,
is.
Right,
I mean, I'll drop something if it's garbage, but
yeah.
Like, for example, like I said, I'm going through Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I'm bloody loving
Still
it,
Still loving
mate.
It, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting when an actor gets cast in something, I'm like, oh, he or she will be great in that. That's going to enhance this entire thing.
Uh-huh.
But rarely am I like, thank God Johnny Depp's in this movie. Now I'm definitely going to go see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Boo. Mm. Boo, Mason, to you.
Oh, no. That's a nice question and everything.
If you do want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. They've got a few Twitters here. What do we got here? This is from RoboTrader or Robot Radar.
Oh,
take that however you want. Do you think Iron Man is stealing other MCU movies?
So oh, like in terms of like,
Civil
he's
War,
in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man, Iron Man 3, he was all over that.
Well, he's the biggest box office draw.
Yeah.
I guess to this point, is he
is
still?
He?
I don't know.
He might be.
He's drawing the biggest paycheck.
Yeah,
so.
Like the Avengers movies, a lot of them are Iron Man movies. Like, especially
maybe
the
there's
first
a clause.
One.
Maybe there's a clause in his contract that it's like, you have to do the Spider-Man. Like you get $50 million for Civil War or whatever it is, but you have to do Spider-Man Homecoming for nothing.
No, I think that's separate because
right,
that
okay.
was Sony and they were like, please do this.
Oh, sure, right.
But yeah, I don't know if he's in it that much. I'm sure I'd be able to Google that. Oh, no, he can. You know exactly how many scenes he's in.
Exactly, because they've gone, well, I guess he's clearly, you know, he's in the minds of the studio, in the minds of Sony, who rarely get anything right, he's the biggest draw card, which is why they've recut all the trailers so he's in every single one of them.
But you know what? Spider-Man himself is the biggest draw card.
Yeah, right.
Because they're so stupid they don't realize what they've got.
Yeah, right.
It's literally the most popular character merchandise-wise, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think we're kind of maybe in the last gasp of that, of Iron Man stealing the limelight.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this
yeah.
is maybe this is kind of a handover.
Yes.
To, you know, Spider-Man, and I think, you know, there was no sign of him in Black Panther, there was no sign of him in Ragnarok.
There's more Captain America in Civil War than Iron Man, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
But again, that is a Captain America movie.
And also there's, you know, there's the little joke in Homecoming where he's on the fitness video.
Yes.
And he's like, I know that guy stole his shield. So, no, I think they've just used whatever elements they have to promote this thing, and I I think Marvel's like, no, no, we have faith in all Absolutely. The other characters.
Completely agree. Mm. Yeah, I think they're smarter about using him, and I think they know that he's not going to be there forever.
Yeah.
In 10 years, you know, there's a very good chance that he's not going to be doing this.
And also,
and
I think
they need to build up other characters.
And I think there's also his character is divisive, I think, now.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like,
Not that I don't like seeing his movies and I don't like seeing him stuff, but I don't like him as a person. I think he's terrible. I'm glad he got beat up.
Yeah,
it was
right?
great to see.
Yeah.
After Age of Ultron, I'm like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Yeah, like I think
he never learns anything.
They need to redeem his character in Infinity War or the next one. And they need to have a scene where he's like, I'm sorry I tried to kill all of you, and I'm sorry I keep building these weapons of mass destruction. Like,
Civil War was a lot of that, though.
Yeah, like, Iron Man's always been my favorite character, but, like, I can only forgive this character so much before I'm like, what are you doing, man?
So the killer robots, it's not enough for you?
No.
That he made a whole bunch of killer robots, no, or he made one that then made a whole bunch of
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
And he keeps, yeah.
Like, the Sokovia Accords are put in place to stop him specifically.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I think this is a great idea. You shouldn't fly in and stop terrorism in other countries that aren't yours. You're doing this.
Yeah, right.
This is for you.
Yeah.
You never see Captain America run into Iraq and, you know, and do whatever.
You shouldn't build unlicensed weapons. I've built hundreds of them. I've got more Iron Man suits I can ever wear my whole life. I've got them built into everything. I've got one built into a helicopter. Got one built into a watch. Got them all over the place. My shower turns into an Iron Man suit just in case I'm attacked in the shower. Then I can just retaliate and blow up their home country. No.
Yeah, he's a terrible bloke.
Yeah. So there needs to be a scene where he's like, and then again, in Civil War, where he learns that the Winter Soldier killed his parents.
Yeah.
Under mind control.
And so, he loses it.
Yeah.
He loses his shit.
Yeah, grow up, mate.
God. How many parents has he killed?
Yeah.
So many. And indirectly, or sometimes directly.
Yeah.
God, he's a bad bloke. But also, that's what I like about him. I like that he's,
sure,
like, right. I enjoy watching him because I kind of hate him.
And man, he's got some sweet suits, doesn't he?
It certainly does. But I also love seeing Captain America, like, beat the shit out of him. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. He deserved that.
Mm.
It was a long time coming.
Yeah, look, if this is one long arc where at the end he's like, I'm really sorry about all this.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to retire from the limelight forever. I think that will be a good send-off.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if he's still the way he is in the next couple, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
People are like, yeah, that's going to divide audiences.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm kind of over his quips as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit kind of. Mm. Anyway, it's a bit much, Mason.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Are you ready for another letter?
I'm ready for another letter.
This is from John Hammett. You guys seem to have...
I was so excited there for a second because I'm like, John Hammett.
Even if this did say...
Still okay. John Hammett seems like a nice guy.
Even if this was from a guy called John Hamm,
yep.
What do you think the chances are that it's the actual John Hamm?
Pretty good.
Hey, it's me, actor John Hamm.
John Hamm.
I listen to your show.
John Hamm's on podcasts. He's on Never Not Funny from time to time.
Yeah.
He's friends with those guys.
Yep.
Maybe.
He's one of those rare examples of a person who grew up good looking but isn't terrible and developed his own personality.
Weird, right?
Based not solely on his looks.
I think that's because he was only famous like in his 40s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe that's when we're going to get famous.
Oh, I hope so.
We're going to be such pricks.
Yeah.
No, this is it. This is the ceiling for us.
Yeah.
It's from John Hammett. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. You guys seem to be genuinely having a good time each week. Does podcasting ever become mundane, boring, or stressful?
No, I don't think so. No.
I mean,
sometimes it's sometimes we have to figure out like when we can do it. Like, I mean, the biggest stretch is, do we do this in the morning or the evening? Because sometimes I'm at work.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
it.
I'm working on the Sunday.
Yeah,
so.
You're probably right. Yeah, and I guess the stuff I don't love editing it, but I kind of go through it. Make sure everything's okay and the sound works and whatever, and put the theme songs in. But
sometimes I will see the movie we have to see at the 11th hour.
You messaged me at like 11 o'clock last night, be like, oh, I've got to see The Mummy.
Yeah, right.
What time did you see it?
Yeah, late, real late.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what
you do. On a Saturday too.
Yeah, on a Saturday, yeah.
I had to leave engagements that I was enjoying to go, all right, bye everyone, going to go to the movies to see a movie that I know is going to be bad.
But no, I like this, and I like doing this a lot more than I like doing YouTube videos.
There you go.
Because you can bounce off somebody. For me, it's just kind of, a lot of YouTube, like, it's, I do like, you know, 5 to 10 minute videos, but you're just sitting by yourself.
Right,
And it takes, like, days.
How many takes do you have on your hard drive of just you kicking off and then just going, and starting again.
Not that I'm getting better, but what I normally, when I write something, it'll take maybe a couple hours depending on what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'll go back and tweak it. And then I'm never happy with it because I'm like, I wish I had more time to kind of make this funnier or more interesting.
Right, uh-huh.
And then when I record it, if it's a 10 minute video, I normally record about 25 minutes and I got to, because it's me going like fucking up like again and again.
Right.
And I hate that part of it is the worst.
Yeah.
Editing down your own dumb voice.
Right,
it's
yeah.
just you going, I think that's a
feeling a lot of people get whenever they, you know, they produce something or they write a thing and then they have to edit it and then they look at it and go, is this even good anymore?
Yeah, that's right.
Kind
yeah.
of thing.
I'd never go back and watch my videos.
Do you speak about that on your wife's podcast?
That's right. So Claire interviewed me for her podcast.
Oh, we weren't going to plug this.
No, we weren't.
Because no free rides, that's what
no
I say.
No bloody free rides.
That's right.
Even if you're running the company. Mm. But she, it's going to be next week's episode. So this week's episode is a continuation of the last week's one where she speaks with Chanel. And next week's one will be me and her. And it's a lot of me just going, why am I doing any of this? That's right. It's a bit of insight into the, I know how I got started from, you know, doing videos to then, you know, then we started doing this and how we grew the audience and whatever. So if you're interested in podcasting or YouTube, then maybe that interests you.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of comics who do a joke or whatever and they've done it 100 times and they're like, I don't even know if this is funny anymore.
Yeah.
Or if it were ever funny.
Yeah. And it's
like,
not.
maybe I just sold it as funny a whole bunch of times and people laugh because it sounded like a joke.
Yeah. Well, you've also said we were talking about this just before the show, certain comedians, they just play broad. And they're no good, but they have complete faith in themselves.
Yeah, exactly right.
Inexplicably.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a balance between like kind of hack jokes.
Yeah.
That everybody does it, but they get a laugh because it's relatable material. And there's other people who are like, well, I want to go a bit deeper and more specific, and I want to. But
and they question everything.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Which do you prefer? Broad,
hacks.
Right?
Yeah, hacks. Just hacks. Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box?
That's a good question.
Vegetarians, they won't put their hand up because they're too tired. Vegans.
How do you know when someone's a bloody vegan, mate?
They'll tell you if they got the energy. I'll tell you what.
Comedy's easy.
Vegans don't email in.
They
you won't even have the bloody energy. That's. So it's good.
Why don't they make all vegans out of the black box?
That's right. Kills in the room. Anyway.
Right.
What are we talking about?
Anyway, no, I like it. I really like doing this.
Me too.
It's fun. Mm. So, yeah. I think if we had to push it, it would not be fun. Like, why would we do it?
Right,
you know,
okay, sure.
I guess, yeah. But then again, I do YouTube videos. And
yeah, and again, like, this has always been an excuse to just have these conversations we're going to have anyway. Yeah. We'd have these if it weren't being recorded.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously more structured because we've got like a list of things that we go through, but this is it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're making that's the number one tip. If you're making a podcast out there and you're like, what should we make our podcast about? And blah, or like it's you do it and it's not fun.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do it.
No, exactly.
You don't have to have a podcast. No, just as every idiot has a podcast. Did you know there was a podcast convention in Sydney this weekend?
No. Why didn't they invite us, Mason?
Why didn't they invite us?
We never get invited
because nobody knows we exist.
We are invisible in this country.
It's bizarre. Anyway.
It's kind of good though.
Anyway, Levins was there. Our friend Levins was there, so you'll probably...
Levins got an invite.
Levins got an invite.
What the fuck, man?
Well, in fairness, he's got like 8 podcasts.
Yeah, he does, yeah. And he's been doing this for a long time, but he's way better than us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, fair point. Anyway, if you're listening, Levins, you're dead to us.
You're dead to us.
You prick. Yeah. All right, Mason. Where can people find us?
Oh, you can find us on Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Gmail and Twitter and Bandcamp. And on the YouTubes with the Caravan of Garbage.
Every Tuesday.
Search for Caravan of Garbage. And if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Or you can go click throughout our Amazon affiliate link, which is in the episode description, if you want to buy 1999's The Mummy on DVD or 4K Blu-ray.
Believe it.
Or you can buy some t-shirts on tpublic.com. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our themes. You're doing a little dance while I do that. It's distracting. I've forgotten where I was. What else are we talking about?
You said TeePublic?
I did. Thanks for everybody who listens and sends a nice review and subscribes and tells people about it. It's real, real helpful.
The biggest thing is word of mouth. It helps out in a big way. So, if you want to tell some friends,
exactly.
Do it. But if you don't, that's fine also.
If you're one of those people that screams at people for moving cars, what I'm saying is don't change your behavior.
No.
Channel it like Dexter. You know how Dexter was a murderer and his father was like, don't do murders on good people, do murders on bad people. On what
murders.
I'm saying is if you're the kind of person who yells out of a car, don't yell, hey, idiot. Get some better hair, you dumbass, or whatever. instead scream out, hey, listen to the Weekly Planet. It's on iTunes from comicbookmovie.com.
I got to check in with Comic Book Movie. I got to see what's going on.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's the show for this week. Yeah, but yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Next week...
A topic, probably, because we're running out of blockbusters. We're running out of blockbusters.
Good, I want to do a topic.
Finally.
Yeah.
God.
Do we have something planned?
No, but we'll think of something.
We did have something, lined up at one point. Anyway, we've got a list.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we've got a topic, tweet it, and we might do it. Or maybe we won't do it. Thanks for listening.
Grab that jam, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.